My name is Simon Cox. The date is the 30th of September 2009 and the time is 10 past 1 in the morning, and I'm interviewing on behalf of the Wellcome Trust. Can I first ask you to say your name, age and where you've come from?
My name is Matthew Sparks. I'm 26 and I've come from Norwich today.
How long have you lived in Norwich for?
This last time, 4 months, but I grew up there and I've lived there 26 years. Well, minus 4 years away, so.
Where were the 4 years away?
First moved to, after I graduated, I moved to Stevenage and then to Amsterdam and then to London and then back to Amsterdam for a bit and then London again. And now I'm in Norwich.
And what did you study and where?
I studied computer science and that was at the UEA in Norwich.
And what led you to Amsterdam?
Well, a couple of friends from I'd made a couple of friends who were out there. My dad also went out there for work for a short while, so had a bit of connection with the place. I was working in London, not really enjoying it, doing a bit more freelance than, you know, maybe doing a bit more freelance than I was 9 to 5. So I decided to go out there and do that for a bit.
And what job are you currently doing?
I'm currently a reporter on the Eastern Daily Press.
And what led you from computer science to journalism?
I'm not really sure. I think when I first left university, I was running a website about technology and kind of fell into a technology journalism job. And then ever since then, I've been moving more towards kind of normal journalism. And yeah, now I'm covering Village Fates for the EDP. So.
And how do you find being a journalist?
It's really fun, actually. I mean, I'm doing this for work, so I get to do a lot of interesting things, you know, with the job, which you wouldn't do with a lot of other jobs. So yeah, some days more interesting than others, but today is definitely quite interesting.
What other exciting experiences have you been on thanks to the job?
Ranging from bizarre things like driving a bus and feeding vultures to, you know, go to traveling a bit as well, going to Iceland and Korea and places like that. All things that I've done through work which I wouldn't normally have done. So.
And how do you find people respond to you once you tell them you're a journalist?
It's not very positive, actually. I think at the moment journalism has got quite a bad rep because it's the whole paparazzi red top thing. I think maybe people's perceptions of journalists aren't quite as good as they could be. We do some good stuff, we do some bad stuff, I suppose. I don't know.
And how do you find meeting people during the job?
Oh, that's great. That's one of the best parts, I think. Definitely. Yeah. Yeah, rather than sitting in an office all day, I get to meet different people, so that's livens things up a bit. It's great. It's good.
Just to take you to the plinth, how did you first hear about the project?
Oh, I don't know, really. I mean, when I used to live in London and work in London, it was when the Glass Hotel was on the fourth plinth. So I guess I'd always known that there was, and before that even, it was there was a debate about the statue of the amputee lady. So it's always been a kind of talking point in London, hasn't it? Well, at least as long as I've been here. And I guess I just heard about it the same way, really, just word of mouth. And then decided to apply and forgot all about it until I found out I'd got a place. So that's, yeah, that's great. I'm really glad I got a place, actually.
And what are you planning to do with your hour?
I will be filling balloons with helium and attaching people's wishes to them and setting them off over London. The wishes have come in, I've asked for them on Twitter, so some of them come in that way. Some have come in word of mouth through friends and a couple through email as well. And I'll just be releasing those.
And what led you to this decision?
It was my girlfriend's idea, actually. I came up with lots of very, very bad ideas and discarded them all. And she came up with this one at the 11th hour. And partly because it was so late and I hadn't thought of anything else, I went along with it, and also partly I think it's quite a nice idea as well. So, yeah.
And how did you meet your girlfriend?
At the UEA, actually. Yeah, we went to university together. So, and she still lives in Norwich now. She's been very patient while I've been moving to other places and staying put in Norwich. So that's partly why I've gone back. Really, it's about time we lived in the same city again. So,
can you actually remember the first time you met her?
I can. It was during Freshers Week, so I shouldn't really be able to, but I can. Yeah, we met through mutual friends, and yeah, that was a long time ago now. I probably should be able to remember exactly how long, but I can't. So.
And also you mentioned that you now currently live in Norwich, but you spent a bit of time in London. What are your thoughts of London?
I think it's an amazing city. Quite sad to be away from it, really. I try and come back as often as possible. But I think I do miss, I mean, Norwich is a wonderful city, and there's lots going on there, but just the sort of scale of London and the amount of things that are constantly going on here, I do miss that. I mean, I used to work in sort of Soho, just behind where we are now, and live in Brixton, and cycle to work, and just the things, you know, the things you'd see on the way home, it's just incredible. I mean, Norwich is just not that big. I think I'll definitely come back to London at some point.
How did you find living in Brixton?
Brixton's great, yeah. I think everyone I knew when they came to London just moved straight to North London, and it always seemed kind of bland to me. I've lived in Hackney and Brixton mainly, and just really sort of unusual parts of town, aren't they? I just really enjoy them. I think they're much more interesting than other places. But yeah.
And are you a follower of the arts?
Yeah. Perhaps not as much as some people, more than others. But yeah, I mean, Norwich is quite a nice city for that, because it's got a disproportionately large art scene for its size, I suppose, because of it's got the UEA and it's got an arts college as well. So it's quite a nice sort of little bohemian city out there in East Anglia. So it's quite a nice place to live if you're into that sort of thing. But I don't know, not much of a, I wouldn't claim to be an arts follower. I don't know.
Did you know of Anthony Gormley's work before this project?
Yeah, I lived in Newcastle for a while, and whenever I used to drive past, I used to pass the Angel of the North. So I was aware of that. And one other as well, the statues in the sea. I forget what it's called. But other than that, I didn't know of any of his other pieces. But I think Angel of the North is great. Really nice piece. For me, it was kind of, because the only time I ever saw it was when I was driving from the south, from London to Newcastle. So seeing that was definitely like a kind of border, you know. I quite like that.
And can I just ask, what are your interests outside of work?
I'm a keen cyclist. I'm a member of a sort of cycling club, go out on Sundays and that sort of thing, and mountain biking as well. Outside, there's not as much outside of work as there should be for me, I think, but yeah, that's a nice thing for me. It's nice to get out into the countryside a bit. Yeah.
What got you into cycling?
Probably moving to London, actually. Just coming to a city where you couldn't have a car, so, and then finding out how terrible the tube was, and, you know, buying a bike to get to work and back on, and then just getting more and more into it, and doing it more for pleasure and less for commuting.
And how are you finding, because you mentioned you don't have as much time outside of work as to do other interests, how are you finding that work-play balance?
It's harder in, because now I'm more in the countryside than here. I'd always thought of the countryside as being more laid back, but it doesn't seem to be going that way at all. But yeah, it's quite hard, really. I think everyone would say they want to work less, though, wouldn't they? I mean, you're working at 1:30 in the morning, I'm sure you'd say the same thing.
And what's important in your life at the moment?
Well, work is important as well. I mean, I'm still at the age where I want to do, you know, I want to do certain things at work. But family and friends, you know, I think it's important to keep that up. So, yeah, that's obviously you need to focus on that as well.
Where would you like your career to go to?
Difficult. Some kind of job where I can just spend all my days cycling and then writing about that, probably. That would be lovely. To be honest, I do enjoy my job now. I just do my current job but without the dull bits.
What do you really enjoy writing about?
Anything that's new, anything that people haven't heard about, anything... everything really. I like variation. That's the nice part about being on a local paper, is that it is very varied. It's not like you're working on a business newspaper or something like that where the same stories crop up again. There are stories that recur, but the variation is massive. So I enjoy that.
And you've mentioned that you've been fortunate enough to travel to other countries. How did you find that experience?
Wonderful. It's just slightly stressful that when you get home from a holiday, you have to then write about it. It's just sort of the beginning of the holiday, really, when you get home. But yeah, it's great. I mean, Korea. I mean, I don't think I'd ever decide to go to Korea on my own. It's not the sort of place that you'd go on a holiday generally. So the fact that you get to go to slightly odd places is nice.
How did you find the people in Korea?
Lovely, actually, yeah. I suppose it's slightly biased because you were taken there by a certain group of people to see a certain event or to see a certain place, so you do feel a bit kind of corralled into, you know, a certain place. But yeah, absolutely wonderful people. But it would be nice to sort of get out and explore a bit more, but... you know, you're normally there to see it, like I say, to see a certain event or to travel to a certain place and see that. So you're kind of limited in that way, I suppose.
Where would you ideally like to travel to?
Ideally like to travel to. I'd like to see Greenland, actually. I went to Iceland a little while ago, and I'd like to travel a bit further up and see, because Greenland seems crazy. It's absolutely enormous, but there's no one that lives there at all. So I'd definitely like to see that, because I don't think people see snow anymore, do they? I can't remember the last time I saw snow. So I'd like to see that. Yeah.
And what was Iceland like?
Iceland's amazing. Still slightly surreal place. It's a bit like Australia. Everyone lives around the outside. And then the inside is kind of quite inhospitable, and the inside looks a bit like pictures of the moon that you see, but absolutely wonderful place, very very odd. And hot springs, I don't understand why humans have sort of inhabited anywhere that doesn't have hot springs. They just seem absolutely amazing. You can just stop the car and it's kind of 2 degrees outside, but you can jump into this warm hot bath, natural hot bath, you know. It's absolutely wonderful. So yeah, it's worth going for that alone, really.
And when I asked the previous question, you mentioned that family was important to you. Do your family still live in Norwich?
Slowly spreading around a bit, I suppose. My dad lives partially in Amsterdam, partially in Norwich. My mum's still around there. My sister's just moved to Aberdeen. But yeah, I think most of us kind of still come back to Norwich occasionally, so yeah, you can generally go back there and find some sparks around. So,
and what does your dad do in Amsterdam?
He works for an oil company doing something to do with I think that's about as much as I know about it, to be honest. It's slightly impenetrable, but something in that line.
Are they supportive of your career?
I think they were slightly baffled after I'd spent 5 years at uni studying computer science and then decided to do something else. But yeah, they never questioned it too much, so yeah, can't complain on that front.
Looking back between sort of the move between computer science and journalism, at this moment in time, would you see yourself doing something different
in the future?
Looking back on the past,
I'm not entirely sure I knew what I wanted to do at all when I decided to do it, to do the uni course, really. I think maybe I just decided too late. But then again, really, looking around at my colleagues now, very few of them have a kind of journalism degree. So perhaps if I'd have done that, it would have been a mistake anyway. So I can't complain, really.
And just one final question. As you know, this project's all about getting a portrait of modern Britain. So I'm going to ask if you can to describe or paint a picture of yourself at this moment of time in your life.
Right now, very, very tired, slightly confused. I don't know. On a broader scale, or
on a broader scale as well.
This is the hardest question by far. I don't know. Probably still thinking myself as younger, that quite young, but perhaps not being that young anymore. Still quite ambitious at work, but keen to have a social life. Slightly confused by the credit crunch, and perhaps angry at the generation above for causing it. And that's it, really. I guess that could describe anyone from this generation, though.
Can I just pick up on something you said?
Yeah, of course.
You mentioned the credit crunch and feeling sort of anger towards the generation above.
Well, yeah, maybe not anger. But I think, like everyone our age, we have this kind of feeling of not really being a part of the cause, but then suddenly springing up in the middle of it to deal with the aftermath, you know, and facing the prospect of spending the next 2 or 3 decades paying it off. So yeah, maybe not anger, a bit of frustration perhaps, but yeah.
And have you found that your career in journalism have changed your views?
No, I think, I mean, I'm not a financial journalist or anything, so I probably have no greater insight into the cause of the credit crunch than anyone else does, but I suppose I try and stay aware of things. But no, I don't think it's changed it, really. No, I'm probably just as confused about it as anyone else is. So.
Thank you.